welcome to the Best Practice Network Apprenticeship Podcast, your space for real conversations that support professionals working in earlier schools and apprenticeships. I'm your host, Emma Minchella. I'm the Curriculum Manager for Personal Development and Enrichment, and I'm joined by Program Lead for the Early Years Senior Leadership Program, Tasha Singleton.
Hi, Emma. How are you?
Hot. What about you?
Yes, so you're keeping cool. I hope you have your bottle of water next to you.
Absolutely, keeping hydrated here. I think this is such a good day to be having this discussion because climate change is of a real concern right now. It's the hottest day of the year. And we're delighted to be joined by Jane's Coxedge, owner and manager of Jane's Nature Nurseries, and Sonia Chesma, who is Jane's support. Hi, both of you.
Hello. How are you doing?
Fabulous. And welcome back. And thank you for joining us. Yeah. We had that lovely conversation, didn't we, for the senior leaders about sustainability.
Yep.
And it was such an informative and interesting topic that we wanted to bring you back and delve a little bit more, didn't we, Emma?
Absolutely. So if anybody is listening right now, we do have like an extended version, which is for corporate and social responsibility, which was recorded aimed at leaders trying to develop sustainability within their practice. So it's a great listen. But today we're going to be looking at it in action, what it means, what we can improve on, which is easy to do, to start thinking about sustainability and our roles and how we can support children to understand it better. So that's going to be our focus for today. So we're in the middle of the biggest heat wave, hottest temperatures in the UK 4 years. So sustainability is really important, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think we took it on board very seriously about what's going on in the world, because we just felt like we wanted to do our part, play our part towards it, and teaching our children about it as well. Hopefully that they'll grow up with the mindset of taking care of everything that they have and not keep using lots of energy and just throwing things away. We thought it was really important to teach them. Yeah.
Let's even if we start with what do we mean? What is meant by sustainability in the early years? What does that actually mean? Because I think that's one of the KSBs, isn't it? In the apprenticeship as well. So having a good understanding of the language of the KSBs is so important for any of our apprentices out there who are listening, or even for managers who are trying to interpret it and what that looks like. So what do you think?
I think it's just about doing our bit to reduce waste and consumption. And it's teaching the children to do that as well and find alternative ways of having what we need, but in a more sustainable way. So, for example, having glass milk bottles that can be reused rather than throwing away single-use plastic milk bottles, making small improvements like that, having less rubbish going in your bins, which go to landfill. It's quite simple things like that, really, just teaching the children how to recycle, how to sort materials and put them in the right place, ready for the bin men. So just knowing the difference between card and paper and plastic and glass.
So we have our own recycle centre. So the children carry the bins every the day before the dustmen are due. So they're all the groups, even the toddlers, will carry the big bins from their room and they take them to our recycle centre. So they're learning where everything should go all the time.
And why we do it as well.
And why.
What the impact has.
Yes. And we were doing this for quite a number of years. And I started to think, do they really understand why they're doing it? So I don't remember when you came to visit us today, if we had our world room already done, but we took it a stage further. We had an opportunity to decorate a room. And I tied it in with how we could teach children more about being sustainable and eco-friendly, and would they understand why? So we decorated our room. I'm going to move the camera so you can see. We decorated this room.
You've got habitats, don't you? You've got habitats.
Yeah, so we've got
that's the one that was being painted when I was last with you.
Yeah. So we've got the Amazon here.
Yeah.
That we painted, and we've got the Antarctica around here. So we could teach the children why we're recycling.
Yeah.
Because we wanted them to know that these are the parts of the world that we really need to look after. And if we're very clever with our rubbish and putting it in the right places, then we can maybe save some of these animals' homes, like the trees. They understand now that the animals live in the trees. We don't want to keep chopping trees down to make paper. So they've got a better understanding there of why we do what we do. Yeah.
It's a lot wider in your nursery, isn't it, Jane and Sonia? Like, it's not just thinking about it. You do so much. It's not just about recycling. You don't use reusable nappies. So children use nappies which are sustainable, that are changed at the nursery, washed at the nursery, on bulk. There's so much that you're doing to ensure that your practice in particular is really considerate of the world and what it needs.
Yeah, we don't use baby wipes, so that there's no baby wipes going into landfill.
I think we may have told you before, we buy liquid soap in like a 70 litre container. So it's on a pump. So when their bottles of soap run out, they just take their liquid soap bottles from their little sink and they go and they refill them. So that we're not throwing all those things away either. And that comes from a very eco-friendly shop, doesn't it? And then we just take that big container back and they refill it. So we're just not throwing any soap bottles away either.
That is so gorgeous. I just imagine these little people doing
their... They love doing
it. And pumping. And
it's a really good physical activity for them to build their strength.
Yes.
Because it's not easy to do it. So they have to go really quick.
Yeah, just really hard.
So that's, you know, you can link that to the EYFS and physical development more easily.
And PSED, of course, you know, with the pride in the job that they're doing. And I'm thinking about so much to unpick in what you've said already, because you're talking about the wider world. And sometimes when we're thinking about these, you know, initiatives and things like that, we think about what's in front of us and what we have to do on a daily. And we don't necessarily link it to a global perspective. And the things that we are doing in our own backyard have an impact across the world.
Yeah. I think too often people think that what they do at home isn't going to make a difference, but if everyone did a little something, it would make a huge impact.
Just back to the glass bottles. Imagine how many plastic bottles you could save going in to landfill if everybody got on board with that. Mm-hmm. That alone would be amazing, wouldn't it? Because they're just floating about in the sea, aren't they? Terrible, really.
They are indeed. So, but also the other thing that really struck me, Emma, what do you think as well, is the fact that you are taking the time to educate the children, to bring the children along on that journey, because I think not us, because we understand, we know, and in our apprentices out there know that children are much more capable and competent learners than a lot of people give them credit for. And they can understand the big issues when you teach it in an age and stage appropriate way.
And I think something that I've seen quite beautiful on the TV recently was about David Attenborough. And he was talking about how children just don't understand the world around them. And they will lose that contact with the natural world because they're not getting educated on it. They're not getting immersed into it as much. So the fact that we've got settings which are really promoting this, I just think it's so beautiful. And children benefit from that. Children benefit and develop empathy. There's just so much that comes from having an ethos of taking care of the world around you. But I think it's really beautiful.
Our whole education for the children, right from babies, right the way up to school age, we've got these activities that we may have said before from OMEC. And when we look to all the activities, the bronze, silver and gold, there are things there that you can do for the babies, then the toddlers, then the three-year-olds and the four-year-olds. So our whole education is based around these activities. And it is all about care. When I analyse the whole thing, it's all about care, whether we go to the old people's home because we care about the elderly people, and we teach the children that there are people like this that we also need to think about, or whether we care about the rubbish that we throw away, we care about our friends, like you say, empathy, like all these activities, it's all about care.
I've got a really lovely example just from this morning, just from literally 15 minutes ago. So I took the children to the nature nursery this morning, and they noticed that there was an engineer that's come out to come and fix the internet there, because yesterday in the storm it was struck by lightning and the internet's down. So I explained, because they said, well, who's this? What are they doing? So I explained, the engineer's come to fix the internet because yesterday in the big storm, we talked about storm, it struck the house and it made the internet break. And they said, but what about the starling nest? Because they've been watching in the top of the house over the springtime. Starlings have made a nest and had babies. And because they've been so involved in watching that whole process and seeing the babies hatching, and they're now in the fields learning to fly and feed, their first thought when they heard that the house had been struck by lightning was that poor nest, a starling's nest. So the empathy for nature is just, it happens all the time. There's examples like that every single day, but that really struck me this morning. I just thought, these lovely children really care about the birds and nature that's around them.
You've given me like goosebumps.
Yeah, I know.
I think that's absolutely beautiful, because, and we might have discussed this when I touched on this when we did the other conversation that we had for the leaders, and that is this idea that we're educating global citizens of the community. You know, comes to British values, comes into it as well. Of course, we're citizens of our community. We care about each other and our near neighbors and who we interact with on a daily, but also global citizens who are going to go out and perhaps and hopefully make a difference in the world as well.
One of the things that I found fascinating from talking to you both in the previous one was how much difference we can make on a small scale, and we can build up with that. And it was really interesting, because actually you did get me really thinking about some of the things I could just do at home rather than, you know, I took my own children to the local eco shop where we filled containers with some rice and some pasta rather than going to the shop. And it was really, really lovely.
And a lovely experience for them as well.
Yeah.
And it's a different shopping experience.
And we actually watched a couple of David Attenborough's lovely shows, and, you know, we was having discussions. So it really did open my mind. And I'm sure we've got listeners right now that we were going, hang on a minute, this is actually part of my apprenticeship, this is one of the KSBs I need to meet in what I'm doing. They may not have they might not have the autonomy to make massive changes because they are starting off in their journey in a nursery environment, and they may not feel that they can. What would be some of the really small on the ground changes that you would recommend that learners could use to evidence sustainability maybe within their practice?
I think like really simple things like crafts using recycled materials. So going through the bin, not the dirty bin, obviously, that I'm presuming that most nurseries would recycle in some way, but just seeing what boxes and bits of plastic and that they can find, and using those to do their crafts, do the gluing and sticking. I think that's a really simple thing that anyone can do. And just thinking about that rather than going and buying special things to make.
Or going to Hobbycraft and buying plasticky things. You could literally put so much on the table.
Junk model, we'll call it.
Yeah, that's right. We would cut up wool or material. We'd have a big table with all sorts of things on it. And it really captures their imagination. And then they're making things, and they're saying it is not what they're calling it, is not what it looks like, but they're using their imagination and they run with it.
We've made so many things, but we've made coffee machines and hoovers. Yeah. Little boy made that bit all out of, they look go into houses. And I think that's just a free activity. You could just have a huge table full of bits and pieces that you just find. We've all got lots of packaging at home that we could bring in. And I just think that is such a lovely activity. You cover all the areas of the EYFS with that. Yeah. And it's simple. And I don't think any nursery manager would mind their apprentices doing something like that. It's a lovely thing.
You've got it in the air, so you're not spending any money.
Yeah. And it leads right into, again, the EYFS with expressive arts and design and problem solving and reasoning while they're trying to figure out how to make things stick together or stay together. Yeah. There's so much that you can link. I guess we call it maybe junk modeling.
It's involved in that as well. Space, date and measure.
Absolutely. I think that's a lovely idea. Is that something you keep? Is that like a continuous provision? I'm quite loving having a corner that is always set up for that, and the children know they can go work on a project.
Absolutely. It's always available.
It's inside and out. We've got it all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, because you do see sometimes when people do activities like that, they it's an activity for a day or a morning.
One-off, yeah.
A one-off, right. Or as opposed to
a continuous provision, yeah. And once they've built it, you find then in the afternoon, they say they want to start painting it. It doesn't end just there. They want to continue with it.
Yeah.
We've had a mum that had to go home and get a different car because the boy has built something so weird she can't get it in the car.
Yeah.
He's a robot. Oh, I think that's amazing.
Yeah. We had a little boy the other day and he was really interested in prehistoric, I actually can't remember the name of it now, like a prehistoric elephant, a bit like a mammoth, but not quite the same special name. We learned lots about it.
Mastodon?
No, die something or other. It's like an elephant, but it's got a shorter trunk than an elephant and it's taller. We learned that it's actually 4 meters high. And he made one out of cardboard boxes, and normally his dad picks him up and walks home, and I had to message dad and say, I think you're gonna have to bring the car today, because it's huge. But the other thing is, it inspires all the other children, so that one child that was interested, but the whole group got involved, they shared it, it's a shared activity, and they all learned so much about it.
And staff, and I've just learned something from it too, because I'm going to go look that up, because I'm fascinated by what that is now. That's amazing. But that's, talk about following the spark, the spark that's very
exist, yeah,
in the moment planning as well, and allowing you know, kind of
child-led
interest. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's what we tend to do a lot of the time. We know we've got the sustainable activities in the background, but if they come in, I think like the last week, there was suddenly loads of poppies in the field, wasn't there? So they learned all about poppies. You know, if there's something that's obvious there, then you'll learn that as well, won't they?
Yeah.
But the child's interest would always override what we might have in mind.
But that's also paying attention to the cycle, the seasonal cycle, and what's going on around you as well. You know, I sometimes laugh at, I'm not poking fun or anything at all, but at Christmas time when everybody wants to do snowy scenes and penguins and whatnot, and you think, but when is the last time we had snow in this area? So.
Yeah.
Thinking about, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, looking at other things. I'm simply saying, but let's look at our own environment and talk about where we live and the impact on us at this particular, and why isn't it particularly as cold as maybe it used to be? And then that could lead into discussion.
That's exactly what we do at the Nature Nursery. We look at what is growing and living right now, and we'll learn about it right now. So right now it's lavender as well. So we've been this week, it's been all about lavender, because they can get out there, they've have hands-on experience, they can smell the lavender and touch it, and it's right there. There's no point in teaching them about lavender in September because it's not there.
Yeah.
And I just think that actually it's their knowledge just embeds in their mind so much better if they've physically got that hands-on experience. And we do say the same with the birds. As we see the birds, we've got red kites at the moment. We learn about the red kites because we're physically seeing them in the sky right now.
What about,
and that gets back again to the EYFS, doesn't it? And that's sort of the understanding the way this things change over time. You know, nature changes over time, which is a massive concept for children to learn. Sorry, Emma, did I interrupt you?
No. I was just thinking, it's so beautiful in the sense that you've got those opportunities. I'm just thinking about some of our settings that might be in more upbuilt areas. You know, you might not see as many beautiful birds and as many sort of different species and varieties. I'm just thinking how we could bring in that level to our more upbuilt areas, what we could support to see there. It's so lovely that there's that opportunity to do that. And I was just thinking, you know, it could even, I suppose my head now is going all the way back down to the basics of finding a little worm. And I remember finding a worm when we took the children to the park, and a child literally stopped in their tracks and screamed snake because there was a wiggly worm that was on the pathway. And it was a big wiggly worm, I have to say. It was quite a large size, but this child really thought it was a snake and obviously hadn't had that experience. It was an upbuilt, you know, it was an upbuilt town area. And those experiences just sounds so beautiful, that they get to see the starling, the red kites and things like that. And I'm just thinking, how could we bring that in more? What can we do from that level?
I think that even if we have a lot of built up at nurseries here that don't have the same outdoor space as us. But even if you had just a couple of pots where you were growing some flowers or some vegetables or tomato plant, you're going to encourage the bees. Yeah, you're going to encourage lots of different bugs if they just take time to notice what is on that plant and in that pot and in that soil. And I do think slowing down the way our day runs really helps as well, because sometimes practitioners can rush through their day trying to do one job after another, and they're not actually taking time, like say if they saw a worm, take time to actually really explore that worm and really look at it and discuss it and measure it and draw it and really spend time on that one thing.
And so how did it get there? I wonder how it got there. What's it doing there? Where does it, what does it need to live?
Yeah.
You can talk about that as well, couldn't you?
In a city, so the nursery that you came to, we're in a more built-up area here, but we still grow some vegetables. We changed out all our flower bed this year to vegetables, and the children are taking so much notice of that. The flowers on the tomatoes, the herbs that they're picking and smelling, the mint that they're tasting. But I think even if you've got things like a pile of logs, if you put out a pile of logs and you get some creatures under there, you can have those discussions about those things. And if you haven't got very much, very good garden space, certainly flower pots and things, you can grow things. When it comes to the point where we're actually digging up vegetables and things, the children are so in awe of finding potatoes and carrots. It's actually mind-blowing, their response. That it seems a shame that everybody needs to experience that. I've said to Sonia recently that she's had the parents in to help plant the things, but also invite the parents back in when they dig it up.
Yes.
Seeing your child's face when they're actually digging potatoes, it is quite an amazing feeling. And you can do all that in a flower pot. You don't have to have a big garden. Just do it on a small scale.
Well, potatoes, because I have an allotment, I grow, and I never grow potatoes in the ground anymore. I only ever grow them in grow bags or in pots, because it's a lot easier to harvest that way.
Yes.
It takes up less ground space. But I've got a video of one of our granddaughters digging potatoes. She lives in the heart of London. And I've got a video of her. She came down for the weekend and was at the allotment with us going, it's a potato, it's a potato. And she was so excited, everyone that she found. It was such a beautiful experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
But also living in those urban areas and taking a chance, that is once again being aware of what's going on your own habitat, well, your own environment where you live. And it's really important, I think, to notice that for the children as well in the cities. I wanted to ask you, so you mentioned OMEP, but I think we might put a link to that in our notes that go along with this, if anybody is interested. Correct me if I'm wrong, the UK Early Childhood Education for Sustainable Citizenship. Is that correct?
Yes. It's a long one.
It's a mouthful, isn't it?
It's so lovely, doesn't it, though? It just sounds like such a wonderful accreditation.
And does that give you specific tips, tricks, activities, and things that you need to do? Is that an accreditation, I suppose. Is that correct?
And you can get in touch with the company and there'll be a fee, but you can get the booklets that have got all the activities in. So you work towards your bronze first, then your silver. We're struggling a little bit, but we're trying to make him really happy, this man. We're trying about a third attempt to get the gold. Yes. He's quite a hard man to please.
If you're struggling to get the gold, it feels like it might be unattainable.
Yeah. He's been to visit us. No one in the country has got it yet. So that's making us even more eager.
Come on, Jane and Sophia.
He came to visit us a couple of years ago and he did say that we should be able to get it, but I don't know why. It always seems like there's something missing, isn't there?
I'd read, somebody told me the other day, and I did not know this was a thing, and I'm going to check into it myself. There's in Essex, and I know you're in Essex, there's an organization, I will find out the name for you if you want, and they are looking for places to house their bees. Now, you get some of the honey back, or perhaps you could have the money instead, I don't know, but because I know that this person that I know took the honey and they labeled it for their own personal like fundraising kind of thing, and they sold back the honey. They don't manage the hives at all. This company, or this, I think it's a family-run business, manage the hives, but you're just providing the space, so you don't have any of the actual, but you're still getting the benefit of it, which I think is a really lovely initiative.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's really lovely.
So maybe throw that in. I don't know. Maybe that'll.
Might help. Might help our case.
I think that what OMEP like you to do is involve the parents as much as possible, because they want to spread the word about sustainability and have that ripple effect, which is what we've been working on a lot this year.
Yeah.
I think that's just so lovely. And I've certainly noticed my youngest daughter, she turns every electrical point off in the house, which is wonderful, except from when you think you've put your phone on charge and you haven't. Your alarm doesn't go off in the morning. So I've had that a couple of times. But I just, you know, I remember like waking up and being like, oh my gosh, what time is it? And then I was like, oh, you switched the switch off. And then I thought, actually, no, she's doing this because she's learned about it. She's taking it seriously. Yeah. So actually, you should be mad at yourself that you've, you know, you've not considered this. But she does it all the time. She'll go around, you know, her older sister is not so considerate and leaves lights on in every room. But she goes around and she switches them off after. And
really, if that's what we try and teach the children. When they leave the room, switch the light off, always think about that. And rather than turning the heating up, put another jumper on. Little things like that, which again, the apprentices could implement that kind of behavior in their settings.
Water as well, particularly, and you know, when we're thinking about hand washing and turning off the tap and not leaving the tap running. We've probably all at some point or other stepped into a bathroom and got our socks soaking wet in the nurseries because somebody's left the tap to overrun. That happens. But a lot of nurseries are installing the taps that you are motion sensor as well.
Well, okay. I think things like food waste, you know, encouraging the children just to take a little bit of food and come back for more if they want some more, rather than taking lots and wasting food. And we also have, each room has a compost bin, a small compost bin, so that the children put their food waste in the compost bin and they're taught why they're doing that. And then that is going to create some compost that we can grow our seeds in. So I've got an understanding of,
but even scraping their plates, we get them to scrape their plates so they understand that feeling of that I'm wasting this food. So that they can, that is quite good as well, isn't it? They're doing that.
Very practical things for them. Way and the hands-on learning and understanding of it as well. Yeah, if you whisk the plate away.
Yeah. Does that mean anything,
isn't it? Yeah.
I was having this conversation the other day, and perhaps this is something that you could weave into sustainability as well, is the fact that physical money doesn't really have any meaning anymore.
No.
Because we don't handle money. My daughter, who's 22, probably always has seen cards, you know, and I wonder if children are growing up without actually realizing they don't have to count out their pennies. To make sure they've got enough to pay for something, because you could just whack it on a card and a couple of pennies will, you know, get absorbed. Do you know what I mean?
One of the things that we like to do every now and then is we ask our parents if they've got any old clothes and books and things that they don't want anymore. So we offer jumble sales, because the children love to serve their parents. So if they bring in clothes that they don't need anymore, and then the mums from the baby room come, they might come and pick up a couple of jumpers and t-shirts and a little dress for their baby for a pence, but the children are experiencing the money changing hands. That's what you were just saying. So they really enjoy that.
I think that's a brilliant thing.
And that saves the parent having to find the time to go down to a charity shop if they can bring it here, and then we just offer these little sales for them. And we've done fruit and vegetable sales as well, just so the children can experience what it's like to serve in a shop. But if it's their parents, they just love it. So I order extra fruit and veg sometimes. And then we get the children to help us lay it all out and invite all the parents in. They come with their bag, because the children want them to take everything at home.
What a meaningful learning opportunity that is too.
Yeah. Making it real life. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's lovely. Because the way the shopping happens now, you've got your little scan gun and it goes directly into a mag, and then you pay by your card, and
you don't even talk to anybody sometimes, do you? You interact with your devices. It's horrible.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's not meaningful. Yeah. Well, ladies, I have truly enjoyed today's discussion, and I think it would be really lovely to invite you back once you've obviously had it. When's your gold? When are they coming to you, do you think, for your gold?
Getting all the evidence together and sending it off. So I think hopefully
this year. Well, our aim was to try and achieve it this year.
Yeah.
We can.
Yeah.
Would you ladies come back and talk to us about the experience? Because I'm so invested in this story.
I am too.
Well, is anybody, any of your ladies that are learning or want any advice about it, like if we're happy for you to share our email, we can always share some simple ideas just to get people going. But I think the thing that did it for me right at the very beginning was look at those bins out there with the lids up because of all the nappies. I think this is really bad that this is just going in and it's like you don't care. It just that really hit home to me. The milk bottles was the first change I did many years ago because I thought, why are we even doing the plastic bottle? But it was seeing those bins full, and I thought, there's got to be another way. This just can't be right. So that, and I think once we started, we just ran with it. And we thought, actually, we can change the hand towels. We don't need to buy all this paper. Why don't we have normal hand towels that can just go in the washing machine and be washed? We don't need to keep wasting all this stuff. I think it was the mere fact that the boxes of paper towels were arriving and it would be like 30, 40 pounds and it might only last 2 weeks. And I think, what is going on? This cannot be right. This can't be right. And that's...
But you've got to carry all those heavy boxes in. You've got to find a place to store them so they take up space.
It just seems so wasteful and unnecessary. I think that's what I felt. An unnecessary expense.
Yeah. I would absolutely agree with you there. So this is... You know, I think the thing to take away from today's conversation as we finish up is that you don't have to go out and do all of the things at one time.
No, just start. Yeah, small.
Because to be truly sustainable, it has to be sustainable over time, right? You put it in practice and you don't just do it for a week or two. It's got to be something that becomes embedded in what you do.
That's why simple in the beginning is best. Something that you could make a change very easily that you could stick with. You teach the children, and this is what we do. But you also need all the staff to agree. It's helpful if everybody is on board with it.
And understands, yeah.
I love that. It's creating those healthy habits that you can just continue. And hopefully it will last generations. If they've learned it from the early years, it's hopefully going to stick with them and will continue to be a part of just their normal routine.
And actually, when the new families come to look around, and I explain all this to them, they just want that sort of education for their very young children because they know they're going to grow up and have that mindset. And they just, well, we've always had quite a long waiting list. They just want it for them.
Yeah.
So that's really nice.
It's a lovely option and opportunity, I think. And I think if it was done widely, it would just be such a benefit to all children. It shouldn't be something that is a choice. It should be something that is available to all children. We could all do
it. We wanted to feel that we were actually teaching them something so that when they leave, we've made an impact on them rather than just, I used to compare it with just babysitting. We can do something really meaningful with the children. So, and it's worked really, really well. And we're not going to give up. We're not giving up on those nappies and things. Oh, it's a lot of work. We're not going to give up, are we?
No.
And you should be really proud.
It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. It has been brilliant speaking with you today. It really has.
Yeah, Jane and Sonia, would you mind sharing your email address with our listeners?
Yeah. Where do you want to put it in there?
You just say it and shout it out to us. That would be perfect.
Oh, well, okay.
inquiries@janesnursery.com.
And Jane is spelled J-A-Y-N-E.
Y. Yeah.
Yeah. So inquiries@janesnursery.com.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jane and Sonia. We're totally invested and we will definitely get booked in to hear how your gold award's going. I'm manifesting that it's going to happen. So when we speak to you next, we'll be just celebrating. Yeah. And it'd be lovely to hear about the things that you've done for our leaders and for our other apprentices on what you've done to achieve that. So thank you so much to anybody who's listened to this episode. If you found today's discussion helpful, please consider subscribing, leaving a review or a comment on your favorite podcast platform. It helps us to spread the word and improve the quality of apprenticeships. You can also contact us via podcast@bestpracticenet.co.uk if you have any feedback or suggestions for the show. We may revisit them in the future, which is what we're going to be doing with Jane and Sonia, having a chat further down the line. But please join in the conversation. pop on there any messages, your thoughts on today, anything that you want to try, anything that you've got from today's session. But this is it all for today's episode. We'll be back soon with more conversation to support your journey. Until next time, take care and goodbye.